Hey guys, this is Todd McIntyre, the lead men's pastor at Gateway Church, and I want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We're so excited to be in a series with Pastor Philip Hunter on the Promise Principle. Let's listen in as he shares how to identify and respond to the promises of God.
Hello again. Welcome back as we talk about the Promise Principle and actually how you can actually make it a part of your time in the Word or even in a Bible study with a group of other people. I want things to be simple, and so I hope you find this simple. As a review, we get the Promise Principle from 2 Peter chapter 1, where it says God has given us everything we need for living a godly life, and we can participate in His nature rather than our nature through His promises. And so we got to make every effort to respond to those promises. And so what I want to do is talk to you about how you respond to those promises. We said that there are two types of promises in God's Word: truths and commandments. And the way that you respond to those promises is either by asking for them by faith or receiving them with thanksgiving. So let me give you some simple rules. First is this: every truth in God's Word, the way you respond to it is by receiving it with thanks. The reason why is because it's a declared truth. It's absolute. It's already authoritative. It's really just up to you being able to receive it. And so it's saying, Lord, thank you that you did this. I receive it. I make it authoritative in my life. You know, several years ago, I was speaking at a church, and afterwards, this man came up to me and said, Pastor Philip, I feel like I'm a bad dad. And I said, well, why do you believe that? And he said, well, you know, a couple years ago, I gave my life to the Lord and God's changing my heart. But for many years, I was lost and I was verbally abusive. I just said horrible things to my children and I just can't get over the shame of that. And I just feel like I'm a really bad dad. And he said, will you pray for me? And I said, no, I want you to pray, and then I'll pray after you. And so he prayed, and he asked God to forgive him. And while he was praying, I really felt like the Lord said, tell him that I forgive him and that he's a really good dad. And so after he got done praying, I shared that with him, and he looked up at me, and he said, I can't believe that. I don't feel like I'm a good dad. And I said, well, I just told you that God forgives you, and I can base that off of the Bible. 1 John 1:9 says he is faithful and just, he will forgive you. And I really feel like he said to tell you, you're a good dad. Can you receive that? And he just said, I just can't receive that. And I said, well, the reason why you can't receive it is because you're still letting your feelings be your authority rather than receiving the truth that he forgives you. Can you receive it? And immediately he said, I want the Word of God to be the authority of my life. And I said, well, then receive it. And he said, Lord, I thank you that you forgive me, that you love me, that you don't condemn me, and I receive it, that you see me as a good dad. And the moment he prayed that, it was like something broke inside him because he was receiving the truth, the promise of God's forgiveness in his life. To the measure that you're willing to receive something is the measure that you get it. It does not matter if forgiveness is offered in heaven. If you don't receive it here on earth, you don't get a walk in it. That's just an example, but every truth in God's Word, to respond to it means you receive it. The second type of promise is a commandment. Now, I believe all commandments, the way I respond to those is by asking for them in faith. See, the word faith actually means to act on the promise of God. So when you're asking in faith, you're asking, acting on the promise. So here's a commandment in God's Word. Colossians 3 says to clothe yourself in humility and tenderness and kindness, to put on love. Well, that's a commandment. But I can't do anything that God commands me in His Word in my own ability. So that's the asking in faith. So in prayer, I go, Lord, I come to you, and right now the circumstance in my life is that I am really struggling with my neighbor. It seems like nothing I can do can make them happy, and they are always angry. And so I need you to clothe me with compassion and tenderness and mercy, to put on love. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to do that so that I can love them the way that you love them. So every commandment in God's word, whether it's walking in humility, forgive, for Christ Jesus first forgave you, it is a truth, but there's a commandment there. The way I respond to it is asking by faith. As you start to see this in scripture, you really see it everywhere. One of my favorite verses that really highlights this is Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious in anything, but in everything in prayer, with thanksgiving and with supplication, that's receiving with thanks and with asking by faith, supplication, bring all your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. The cool thing is when we respond to the promises of God, we're not saying that by responding to Him, our circumstance goes away. But what does happen is the Bible promises God's peace, His wholeness, will flood that situation in such a way that even though the circumstance is there, His peace will guard how you feel and how you think. Isn't that cool? So, every truth, every commandment, their promises, the two ways we respond to them are either by asking for them by faith or receiving them with thanksgiving. It's how you respond to every promise in God's word. So now what I want to do before we go into the rest of this is to talk about how you hear the Holy Spirit. I believe there are three ways that I can begin to help you identify the Holy Spirit. The first one is through spiritual community. Most of us, if you've ever wondered, how do I know if I'm hearing the Holy Spirit? You have heard Him. In fact, whether it's when your pastor is preaching or you're listening to a message, and as something is being spoken, you feel like it's being spoken right to you, that's the Holy Spirit. He's nudging you. You know how when the pastor is preaching, you go, oh, that's good. Oh, so good. I want you to know, you're not the person there validating the message saying, I approve of this pastor. What's going on is the Holy Spirit is nudging you even as the truth is going out and you feel like it's being spoken right to you. That is the Holy Spirit. That is His still small voice speaking to you. But you have to pay attention. You have to give Him space to talk. That might not be Him speaking. That might be just Him nudging you. Okay? But the first place is this. If you have heard the Holy Spirit in a message, it's landing on your heart, that is in fact the Holy Spirit. Okay? The second place I want to identify the Holy Spirit is when you're reading the Word of God. When you're reading a passage of Scripture, you're having your quiet time, and as you're reading, a verse jumps out to you. You go, oh, that's really good. So you underline it. And if it's really good, maybe you underline it twice. You know, maybe you get out a different highlighter, you're making your Bible look really pretty. Okay, that's not enough. And I did that for so many years. My quiet time was just reading the Bible, underlining things, and moving on. But I never learned how to give space to the Holy Spirit to talk to me. Once you've highlighted your verse, you have to learn to give space to the Holy Spirit, because that verse that you think, oh, is really good, the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you about that. But that's the second place we learn how to hear the Holy Spirit, is in His Word. The third place we learn how to hear the Holy Spirit is in prayer. When you pray and you open your mouth, what comes out of your mouth, that is from the Holy Spirit. Think about this. When you first begin to pray, you always thought, well, I got to come up with something really good to say. And you try to rehearse your prayer. And you always would get caught. Well, the reason why is because that prayer maybe wasn't being led by the Holy Spirit. But then when you open up your mouth and you start praying for people, praying for your family, praying for yourself, all this stuff comes out. Well, the Bible says it's the Holy Spirit that leads you in that, and that you don't know what you're going to pray. And as it comes out, all that comes from the Holy Spirit. Well, learning how to hear yourself pray and learning how to let the Holy Spirit lead that prayer, if you can do that, I want you to know that's the Holy Spirit talking. You need to learn to listen. In fact, I've learned many times in my life that the very things I'm praying for, when I stop and listen, God is actually giving me the answer to my prayer, to what I think I'm praying for in my prayer. He's actually answering it. Because what he's doing is, as I'm praying and submitting myself to him, he's aligning my heart with his heart. And all of a sudden, the wisdom pours forth. So the three areas that I believe, if I first can get you to acknowledge the Holy Spirit speaking in spiritual community, in his word, and in prayer, you'll begin to hear him in all other kinds of places. In fact, you know, when I first got married, I would have struggles with listening to my wife. I thought I was a good listener, but I wasn't. In fact, we'd have people come over for dinner, we'd hang out, and afterwards we'd get done and I'd go, "Honey, wasn't that a great night?" And she would say, "Yeah, it was all right." And I go, "Why didn't you enjoy yourself?" And she said, "Well, you never let me talk." Well, I'm kind of a talker. My wife's kind of more quieter spirit. And I would find that I was interrupting her. I didn't realize I was interrupting her. She was telling me I was interrupting her. So I began to listen. And I began to realize that my wife needed space to talk. Meaning, if we're going to have a conversation with a group of people, I actually had to stop and say, "Honey, what do you think about this?" And all of a sudden, all this wisdom, all these incredible thoughts would come out and it would be profound. And I was missing out on that because I wasn't giving space for her to talk. And you know, I've learned that's a lot like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has all kinds of things to say, very profound, very wise, and wants to talk. But I have to be quiet and listen and give space for the Holy Spirit to talk. And so what we do here in the Promise Principle is we've created four questions when you're studying the Word of God, when you're listening, that you can give space to the Holy Spirit. And here are those four questions. So let's do a verse, Philippians 4:19. "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of my needs from his glorious riches, which he has been given to me in Christ Jesus." All right, so let's say you're reading your Bible and that verse jumps out to you. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit that's trying to nudge you. So the first thing I want you to do is just to read it back again. So the very first question is, read the verse. Would you read the verse back? "And my God, who takes care of me, will supply all of my needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to me in Christ Jesus." All right, here's the second question. Is that verse, it's a promise. Is that promise a truth or a commandment? Because remember, all of God's promises are truths and commandments. Well, it's a truth, right? It's a truth that he will supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So here's the third question. What's a circumstance in my life right now that I need to respond to that promise? Notice I'm not saying, what does this verse mean to you? I'm not asking you to interpret it for yourself. This is an absolute truth spoken thousands of years ago by God, and it doesn't change based off my circumstances. The question is, what is a circumstance in my life right now I need to respond to this truth? Well, if I sit and think and give space for the Holy Spirit to talk to me, I realize that lately I feel like more has been going out of my bank account than has been coming in. And there are some bills and there have been some emergencies that have taken place that were not budgeted for, and I have been feeling overwhelmed and stressed out by our current financial situation. And so I need to respond to that promise that God will take care of all that so that I don't live in fear and anxiety. So the fourth question is, would you pray it? And do you think you should say, ask for it by faith, or you should receive it with thanksgiving, or maybe even both? And in this situation, I'd say, I probably think I need to do both. So I bow my head and I just say, "Lord, right now, I just feel overwhelmed because of all the things going on in my life. There have been some things that have hit us and hit our pocketbook that we were not anticipating. And so I put my trust in you. I don't want fear. I don't want anxiety. I receive this truth that you will supply all my needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus, that you will take care of me. You see me. You are my provider. So I put my hope in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, whatever I just prayed right there, you know where that came from? That was the Holy Spirit. That's me getting my daily bread. I give space to the Holy Spirit to talk by asking those four questions. So let me go back through those four questions one more time. One, would you read that verse again? Two, is this promise a truth or a commandment? Three, what is a circumstance in my life right now that I need to respond to this promise? The fourth question is, how do you want to pray that? Should I pray it by asking for it by faith or receiving it with thanksgiving? Those four questions right there, even when I'm reading a book that someone's written and something jumps out to me, I will stop and give space to the Holy Spirit. I will read it again so I can kind of comprehend it, and I will then think, okay, Lord, is this that's jumping out to me right now? Because all truth is God's. Is this a commandment or a truth? Then I will ask, okay, what is the circumstance in my life right now, Lord, that I need to respond to this? It might be something in my business. It might be something in my family life. It's not enough just to hear it and go, that's really cool. I want to be a doer of God's word. So I'll think about how I need to respond to that, and then I'll pray it. And it is amazing what God has given me. That's how you give space to the Holy Spirit. That's how I read the word of God, because it's all full of promises. So that's how I do it individually. But let me real quickly tell you how we do this in groups, how I lead a Bible study. So if I've got a group of people that I'm meeting with, and let's say we're doing the book of Ephesians, we will read through Ephesians chapter 1 together. And as we're reading it, I will tell everybody just to look for truths and commandments. And once they read, really almost every verse is underlined. But we'll read through it, and then we'll go back to the beginning, and I'll say, okay, does anybody have any verses that jumped out to them? And someone will raise their hand and say, I've got one. And I'll say, okay, what is it? And let's say we are doing Ephesians 1. And the guy raises his hand and said, well, the verse that jumped out to me was verses 4 and 5. And so he reads them back. And it says something to the extent of, in God's foreknowledge, he chose us to become his sons. It was his pleasure and will to do so. So after reading it back, I ask the second question, is that a truth or a commandment? He says, it is a truth. I then ask the third question, what is a circumstance in your life that you need to respond to that promise? He starts talking, and all of a sudden he starts talking about how he never had a dad that could really love him, how it's so hard to think about a heavenly father loving him when he never heard it from his own dad. And because of things he's done in his life, that God would even consider him qualified to do anything for the kingdom of God. But right here, this truth says that it's God's pleasure and will to call him his son. And so the fourth question is, well, how do you want to pray that? Do you want to thank him for it or ask him for it? And he says, well, all I want to do is thank him for it, because there isn't anything he needs to ask for, because God's already done it. So he prays it. Lord, even though I feel like you couldn't really love me because of what I've done, or because I've never really had a father tell me I love you, I just receive this right now that when you see me, that you see me as your son, and that you are pleased, and it is your will to call me your son. And I just rest in that right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In fact, you know, that scripture right there is a verse that most people want to argue and debate about predestination or free will. But I don't think God puts scripture together for us to argue or debate it. He is a father, and he wants us to respond to it. He put it there to speak about your identity. And to the measure that you'll walk in that identity is the measure that you get to walk in the freedom of that identity. So what we'll do is we'll do that for an hour. Guys or gals, depending on the group, responding to the promises of God. And of course, as people respond, answering those four questions, it's amazing what you learn as other people are responding. But then what we'll do is we'll say, okay, this week, every day, do a different chapter of the book of Ephesians. Then tomorrow, do Ephesians 2. And you just go through it, underline verses that jump out to you, and then give space to the Holy Spirit to talk. The next day, do Ephesians 3, and so on. Well, next week when we come back, we'll do Ephesians 2 as a group. And it'll take us 6 weeks to go through the book of Ephesians. But what will happen is those people in your group, by the time those six weeks are over, they will have prayed through the promises of Ephesians multiple times. And what will happen is they will find they've actually memorized God's word with their spirit. And they can impart the book of Ephesians after you've finished it. And as far as a leader, it doesn't take you any time to prepare because you're not the teacher. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. Because as you're responding by asking those four questions, you're simply letting the Holy Spirit teach his word that he's spoken to the hearts of each person in your group. So that's how you respond to the promises of God. Every promise in God's word, it is there for you to see it, to respond to it. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 says, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your minds leads to life and peace." See, by learning how to respond to the promises of God, which lead to life and peace, you're actually learning how to let the Holy Spirit lead you in every way of your life, because it's his promises that are the expression and the heart of the Spirit. So, God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. He gave us his word, and he gave us his spirit. So, I want to encourage you to start learning to respond to the promises of God. Don't look at your Bible just as a bunch of stories for knowledge. Every story is actually a person with a circumstance, and God gives a promise. And if they go with the promise, you see life and peace. But if they go with their circumstances, you see destruction. Start learning to respond to the promises of God. And as you do, you'll begin to see the life and peace that God promises walked out in your life, in your family, and if you have children, in their life as well. I want to encourage you, if you're not in a group, to get in one. I think you'll love it. And if there's not any Promise Principle groups around you, you can start it. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. The Bible's the curriculum. All you got to do is ask those four questions. I bless you. It's been fun hanging out and talking to you. Hope you have a great day.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Be sure to check out gatewaypeople.com for all things happening at our amazing church. And if you'd like more information on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.